Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yeah. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, January 5th, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And to recap the announcement in the first hour, just to sort of compress it all and get it right the first time, the book drive, RBN's John Stabmiller book drive, is in its final week. We've been doing it since November 7th. It will run through January 12th, which is next Thursday. And so now through January 12th, donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stabmiller himself. And due to delays, holiday, etc., again, the drawing and the winner. Drawing will take place, and the winner will be announced next Thursday, January 12th. This week's book, the final week, week 9, Callous Disregard, Autism and Vaccines, The Truth Behind a Tragedy, published in 2010, authored by Andrew Wakefield, foreword by Jenny McCarthy. Visit republicbroadcasting.org for details. And congratulations to all of the winners, previous winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid, Gary, Sharon, Renee, KS, Robert, the second Robert. And thank you to everyone. Thank you to all those folks for your generous support, and also to everyone. All donations are always much appreciated and gratefully received. Thank you for keeping RBN going. Much appreciated. So back to these articles, and then, you know, maybe to get to a point without wandering too far afield too much. So again, you know, the Facebook New York Times article. These are New York Times articles, few of those, just to sort of really underscore the agitprop point. Meta's ad practices ruled illegal under EU law, and this was published yesterday over at the New York Times. The decision, including a fine of 300 million euros, $414 million, which is, what is that? Nah. Has the potential to require Meta to make costly changes to its advertising-based business in the European Union, one of its largest markets. Dun, dun, dun. And so you can see, you know, and this deals with the GDPR stuff, General Data Protection Regulation. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it reminds me of the administrative state or so many other things where it's a thing somewhere in a far, far away land. But so why is it affecting me? But it, you know, so eventually this will end up reaching out and touching us all, I think, in a variety of ways. Just to finish the article, let's see, if a large number of users choose not to share their data. You know, Jaron Lanier says that you shouldn't. You should get paid. Kind of like, you know, if data is the new oil, then you are a refinery. Or, excuse me, you're not a refinery. You're you're an oil well. And so you ought to get paid as such. more data, more whatever it's going to be. It's not money, but, you know, the form of money, if not the substance. So, if a large number of users choose not to share their data, it would cut off one of the most valuable parts of Meta's business. Information about a user's digital history, such as what videos, this is, you know, no, this is the kids play version. What videos, etc., on Instagram prompt a person to stop. No, that's not where the action is. Come on. Is used by marketers to get ads in front of people. No, that's not the real benefit of it. You know, for the short version of that, Michael Kaczynski's work and the Cambridge Analytica story and, you know, a series of likes, and I can tell you more about yourself than you know, you think you know about yourself, and that's just likes. That doesn't include posts and comments and things like that. Anyway, continuing. And, you know, so if you put that together, if you're a smart person, you put that together, you think about the military involvement, CIA, NQTEL, Gilman Louie, and it just continues on, you know, Regina Dugan, and DARPA is always, you know, close by. The interwebs were first, foremost, and always remain a military project, the ARPANET. You kind of start connecting those dots, and ta-da, you realize that not only are you the resource that is being trafficked, but you're also the target of all of that research. So, I digress. Continuing. Information about a user's digital history is used by marketers to get ads in front of people who are the most likely to buy. The practice is, but see, here's the thing. I don't know about you. I mean, I'm probably not the best person to say. I don't spend any length of time on Facebook. And if ever I'm on it, I'm in and I'm out. And I looked at one point, you know how you can, they have that deal, you know, here's how much time you're spending on. Are you spending too much time on Facebook? No, absolutely not. I looked, and it's usually about the same. It's like 5 or 10 minutes a week. So I'm not the best person to judge here, but I dare say that if you look, I mean, you can't probably think off the top of your head of an ad, certainly not two or three that you've seen on Facebook recently. I would hazard a guess that most people who watch television could say, well, I can think of at least one or two ads. And so, again, that sort of begs the question. All of these ads that we always hear about in these kinds of stories, oh, it's all about the advertising, and they got to get ads in front of it. Where are those ads? Maybe you and I are just not, you know, someone's target demographic. Maybe that's what it is. I don't think so. So then where's the money coming from? Because I don't think, you know, just it seems implausible even now that the Facebook operation could run on advertising dollars. And then there's a whole other discussion. I mean, there's the Tectopus wage fixing scandal. There's other stuff like, if you follow technology, there is an effort to really accelerate the Kurzweilian singularity, you know, kind of vision. And you can see it in efforts like what has happened, the explosion of middleware in JavaScript land, and you know, you see the fingerprints of all of the big tech companies everywhere, and it's not, you know, IBM and Google and Facebook and Microsoft, at all, Amazon, they're not writing these libraries and languages, you know, whole different languages like Go, for example, or, you know, the names are funny too. As an aside, you know, the Bernie Madoff with the cash thing, Evan Yu is the creator of Vue and some other things. And so, you know, when I think of Evan Yu, I think of even you can code in JavaScript. So anyway, you know, React, Angular, you know, and all of the spin-off libraries, and you have Node and Dino and, you know, all of these and everything else that goes along with it. I mean, TypeScript is a kind of a superset of JavaScript now that allows you to sort of organize better for code at scale and things. And these tools are all designed to advance something specific. And if you've been paying attention for any length of time, say the last 10, certainly the last 15, 20 years, or if you're listening to someone like Jaron Lanier and looking further back than that, then you realize, I mean, he wrote a book about it, You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, and he says, gosh, you know, it's funny, the best technologies don't usually get adopted. Why are we getting locked into these bad ideas and bad technologies? MIDI is one of the examples that he uses. Try to play a MIDI file on your Microsoft Windows device. Anyway, it's interesting to see these things happening all around us. And obviously, Facebook is part and parcel to that. And again, you know, one of the purveyors of the open graph, you know, graph QL type stuff, you know, and all the React kind of tools and things. So, you know, this is, it's not just business. It's not just spying on us. It gets back to, quite frankly, it gets back to the work of the hierarchy stuff and Genesis 11, Genesis 6. How fast can we get there? This digital simulation stuff that plays into the singularity is, you know, priority number one. There is no messing around. If you listen to the Kurzweilian contingent, they're not messing around. They know that. I mean, they, you know, it's written in places like the work of the hierarchy. They're working on a, you know, the clock is ticking. So anyway, back to the stories. How does this stuff get advanced? We think when we read these stories, like the Facebook, Meta. Anyway. We always have this anticlimactic experience of, aha, now, you know, these guys will fly straight. They'll straighten up and fly right because, I mean, they just, you know, in Facebook's case, $414 million, some significant changes, etc. But it never happens. What happens? The crackdown seems to trickle down and never quite rests. It never lands where it's supposed to. Salesforce to lay off. What's going to happen there? Continuing with some more high-profile examples. Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, the bank man got fried, and Bernie Madoff with the cash, pleads not guilty to fraud and other charges. Right. Perhaps you've seen some of the stories, you know, Really Graceful did a good one. Jimmy Dore's done some interesting stuff. Several folks have done some great articles on, again, intelligence, military intelligence connections, and just weird Camp X or what's the one in, what's what's his name's deal called in the X-Men? Professor's deal. Anyway, something like that for these kids. So Sam Bankman-Fried pleads not guilty to fraud charges and fraud and other charges. The founder of the collapsed cryptocurrency exchange FTX, who was released on a $250 million bond. Again, I mean, it's just absurd. Come on. Returned to New York and appeared in court on Tuesday. He didn't suicide himself. So, but what's going to happen as a result of this? Maybe one final. Video game workers get a union foothold at Microsoft. The outcome involving about 300 employees is one of organized labor's biggest victories at a major U.S. tech company. That is, again, you know, straw man territory. I refer back to the Tectopus wage fixing scandal. This is a setup. This is going to be the tyrant's majority that's used to brutalize those who are not, you know, really towing the sensitivity training line. And so the union will be a part of, if not entirely, the cudgel, the next latest greatest cudgel, as far as that's concerned. So back to stories like the Sam Bankman-Fried story, for example, the Meta story, and et al. Why is it always anticlimactic? You see it, you think, aha, finally, somebody, you know, justice will be served. As Francis Fukuyama writes in Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution, Chapter 11, How Biotechnology is Regulated Today. Again, this is published back in 2002, so 20 years ago. On page 201, he writes, rules regarding human experimentation evolved in tandem with regulation of the drug industry in the United States and were driven forward in each instance by the revelation of a scandal or atrocity. This is always the excuse. You know, the good reason, oh, we have to reform things, but actually, you know, somebody wants to, it ends up being a greater power grab. In 1937, 107 deaths resulted from the commercial release of the untested sulfanilamide, excuse me, elixir, which was later found to contain the poison diethylene glycol. The scandal led very quickly to passage of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act of 1938, which still remains the statutory basis for the FDA's regulatory authority over new foods and drugs. And by the way, that was, you know, people don't remember now, but back in like 2007, 2008, when we started seeing all of the salmonella outbreaks, and remember all the food, crazy stuff going on with the food, peanut butter and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. And that was at the same time, I remember a lady dropped off a milk crate of books at a school. And the story that we heard was she had wrapped the crate, top and bottom, the books in the crate, in brown paper grocery bags to protect them from rain. It was apparently wet that morning or something, and somebody called the bomb squad. This was back in those days, and that was around the time, right after September 11, 2001, that suddenly the FDA, among all others, gets a new lease on life and a reason and permission to continue to exist. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Hey, Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
So on and so on, we're winding down. So now, I mean, now it's only 323 days to Thanksgiving, 354 days to Christmas, and 361 days to New Year's. Too soon? You know, Costco doesn't think so. It's probably Halloween at Costco already. How about a reading from the book of Jaron Lanier before we go back to the news articles? You are not a gadget manifesto, just to I don't know. I'm not crazy. He really did write it. So, right from the outset, you know, Jaron Lanier is such a brilliant, amazing guy. And what did he say over the last few years? You know, right around the time the deep fake stuff started to really take off, and we started hearing about all of this goofy research that NVIDIA was doing, for example, the generative adversarial network stuff, the GAN. And that's just what we hear about. Jaron Lanier went on a junket, it seemed, and said, you know, hey, I wrote a book, and, you know, maybe we should all delete our social media accounts, like right now. Speaking of Meta ads. And then seemed like he kind of checked out. So right from the get-go, part one, what is a person? Chapter one, missing persons. Lanier wrote, this was published back in 2010. Page seven, occasionally a digital Eden appears. One day in the early 1980s, a music synthesizer designer named Dave Smith casually made up a way to represent musical notes. It was called MIDI. His approach conceived of music from a keyboard player's point of view. MIDI was made of digital patterns that represented keyboard events like key down and key up. That meant it could not describe the curvy, transient expressions a singer or a saxophone player can produce. It could only describe the tile mosaic world of the keyboardist, not the watercolor world of the violin. But there was no reason for MIDI to be concerned with the whole of musical expression, since Dave only wanted to connect some synthesizers together so that he could have a larger palette of sounds while playing a single keyboard. In spite of its limitations, MIDI became the standard scheme to represent music and software. Music programs and synthesizers were designed to work with it, and it quickly proved impractical to change or dispose of all that software and hardware. MIDI became entrenched, and despite Herculean efforts to reform it on many occasions by a multi-decade-long parade of powerful international, commercial, academic, and professional organizations, it remains so. Standards and their inevitable lack of prescience posed a nuisance before computers, of course. Railroad gauges, the dimensions of the tracks are one example. The London Tube was designed with narrow tracks and matching tunnels that on several of the lines cannot accommodate air conditioning because there's no room to ventilate the hot air from the trains. Thus, tens of thousands of modern-day residents in one of the world's richest cities must suffer a stifling commute because of an inflexible design decision made more than 100 years ago. But software is worse than railroads because it must always adhere with absolute perfection to a boundlessly particular, arbitrary, tangled, intractable messiness. The engineering requirements are so stringent and perverse that adapting to shifting standards can be an endless struggle. So while Lock-in may be a gangster in the world of railroads, it is an absolute tyrant in the digital world. I've always maintained that working on web stuff is like trying to engineer a German luxury sedan while it's on the Autobahn going about 100 miles an hour, 120 kilometers an hour maybe. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Again, from Jerry Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget Manifesto. Brilliant stuff, brilliant guys. So, part one, what is a person? Chapter one, missing persons. Picking up on page 8, life on the curved surface of Moore's Law. The fateful, unnerving aspect of information technology is that a particular design will occasionally happen to fill a niche and, once implemented, turn out to be unalterable. And I would add intolerable, which, you know, is sort of the punchline he gets to, but that's a punchline of other punchlines. It becomes a permanent fixture from then on, even though a better design might just as well have taken its place before the moment of entrenchment. A mere annoyance then explodes into a cataclysmic challenge because the raw power of computers grows exponentially. But you will notice, if you're paying attention, that, again, like so many other things, you know, we hear about Moore's Law, but then, you know, Kurzweil and guys like Kurzweil say, yeah, maybe it's not Moore's Law now. Well, maybe it's not, but maybe there's an effort, you know, maybe there's an unseen hand that's trying to retard the personal computer market, because if you can do that, obviously, well, you know, it's for your carbon footprint. That's what it is. No, it's not that. It's so that you can drive the stampede of traffic to these remote enclaves. Like James Corbett has wisely observed, the cloud is just someone else's computer somewhere. So instead of your own personal computer, Klaus Schwab says, you know, we won't own anything. That, I guess, includes the personal computing devices, and therefore we all have to be in the cloud somewhere. Is it the Tesla cloud, or which I suspect is the DARPA ionospheric cloud these days? I digress. So, continuing, computers have gotten millions of times more powerful and immensely more common and more connected since my career began, which was not so very long ago. Lanier writes, it's as if you kneel to plant a seed of a tree and it grows so fast that it swallows your whole village before you can even rise to your feet. So software presents what often feels like an unfair level of responsibility to technologists, because computers are growing more powerful at an exponential rate. The designers and programmers of technology must be extremely careful when they make design choices. The consequences of tiny, initially inconsequential decisions often are amplified to become defining, unchangeable rules of our lives, which is why the best folks say plan, and only after you're absolutely certain, then plan some more, and then after you're certain some more, then you can start to execute in this field. Anyway, skipping ahead, lock-in turns thoughts into facts. Before MIDI, a musical note was a bottomless idea that transcended absolute definition. It was a way for a musician to think, or a way to teach and document music. It was a mental tool distinguishable from the music itself. Different people could make transcriptions of the same musical recording, for instance, and come up with slightly different scores. After MIDI, a musical note was no longer just an idea, but a rigid mandatory structure you couldn't avoid in the aspects of life that had gone digital. The process of lock-in is like a wave gradually washing over the rule book of life, culling the ambiguities of flexible thoughts as more and more thought structures are solidified into effectively permanent reality. It's kind of a Tron type of scenario in my mind, something along those lines. We can compare lock-in to scientific method. The philosopher Karl Popper was correct when he claimed that science is a process that disqualifies thoughts as it proceeds. One can, for example, no longer reasonably believe in a flat earth that sprang into being some thousands of years ago. Ha ha. Mr. Lanier, are you being cheeky? Something tells me, perhaps. Science removes ideas from play empirically. Ah, That's an interesting word, empirically. What is the etymology of that word? Could it be perhaps, no, not Dana Carvey's voice. Could it be Sextus Empiricus and Pyrrho and the Pyrrhonist tradition and school and that sort of emerging out of the Platonic Academy and so on and so on? You know, the higher criticism that has descended and transcended down from Plato and Pyrrho and Sextus Empiricus down to guys like Karl Marx and or Bear Marcuse, Adorno, Horkheimer et al. Science removes ideas from play empirically for good reason. Interesting how the book was written. Radical empiricism, higher criticism, etc., etc. Lockean, however, removes design options based on what is easiest to program. Again, that's Atwood's law. Whatever can be written in JavaScript eventually will be. Lockean, however, removes design options based on what is easiest to program, what is politically feasible, what is fashionable, or what is created by chance. Lockean removes ideas that do not fit into the winning digital representation scheme, etc., etc. Skipping down, when Dave made MIDI, I was thrilled. Some friends of mine from the original Macintosh team quickly built a hardware interface so a Mac could use MIDI to control a synthesizer, and I worked up a quick music creation program. We felt so free, but we should have been more thoughtful. By now, MIDI has become too hard to change, so the culture has changed to make it seem fuller than it was initially intended to be. We have narrowed what we expect from the commonplace forms of musical sound in order to make the technology adequate. It wasn't Dave's fault. How could he have known? So, you know, the next section is titled Digital Reification. Lockean turns philosophy into reality. And, you know, we can see this happening. The music is a great illustration of this, but, you know, looking back to classical and even into the big band era, you know, and crooning and so forth, I remember that interview where Sinatra said, yes, I would still be recording new music if there was a song, basically if there was a lyric, if there was a Sammy Kahn around, if there was a lyric worth singing. In that last concert he gave in Australia, he talked about that. And, you know, that was the joke on Gilligan's Island in the late 60s and early 70s. What was it, the mosquitoes? Cockroaches, something like that. Gilligan singing, yeah, yeah, yeah. Skipper says, no, no, no. That kind of thing. It's the, you know, the blunted Orwellian linguistic minimalism applied to lyrics. But, you know, Theodore Adorno would be proud. So, speaking of Atwood's law and this idea that Lockean removes design options based on what is easiest to program, specifically Atwood's law. You know, and getting back to the other stuff that I said, not to get high centered on this, but it's interesting to observe, you know, as you step back, if you are familiar with web type programming type stuff, that before Node came along, which is kind of the middleware hub, you know, it's serverless. Well, isn't it still serving something from somewhere? That's still serving something, isn't it? Well, it's not the traditional. Yeah, but it's not serverless. That's a cute sleight of hand. It's NoSQL. Well, if you're writing flat files that have structured data in them and you have to query the structured data in a particular way, isn't that a structured query language? Isn't it structured? I digress. Anyway, before Node came along, there really was no JavaScript middleware, and there were abstractions of JavaScript in the form of things like jQuery, which is a pretty library. There was jQuery and MooTools in particular, and you know, that's more spaghetti, but it's less of a tangle for lots of things to sort of leverage the power of JavaScript and not have to write vanilla JavaScript to do it, or to keep track of all your snippets and stuff. So jQuery was an abstraction in the fashion of Atwood's Law, basically. But it was really, the emphasis of jQuery was on making pretty things. And then along comes Node and its middleware, and now JavaScript can reach from the client, or, you know, client-side user interface kind of stuff, back into the server realm, so to speak. And that serves the Kurzweilian purposes, the singularitarians and the technocrats and cyberneticians. They can do much more powerful things now. And so that is why you have this new abstraction of, you know, JavaScripty type things. Which one is going to emerge supreme in the fashion of Atwood's Law? And as Jaron Lanier points out, lock-in occurring based on what is easiest to program. And it's a fact. If you're not familiar with this, this is probably way too nerdish for the, you know, average RBN listener. But if you're not familiar, there is, for example, a website titled State of JavaScript, and there are annual surveys that are taken. The results of the 2022 survey are apparently coming soon. So this has been happening since 2016. And you can see the history of JavaScript in these libraries and things. And so people actually go into places like State of JavaScript. It's stateofjs.com. You know, guys, you know, people diving in and people who have been at it for a while, they look and they go, hey, look at that. This library has been doing well. This one is tanking in terms of popularity and usage, and this one is starting to peak a little bit. And they, these things gain adoption as a result of that. You can see it in other places like jamstack.org. And you look at the site generators, for example, and see, you know, that some have, and you see it in other little places similar to this too. Another one is StackBlitz, I think, is what I'm thinking of. Yeah, you can see in places like that, you know, what, like it says, what's popular. Node, TypeScript, Vue, React, etc., Angular. But, you know, you start looking into the statistics and, you know, what's going to gain adoption is something like Svelte going to gain widespread adoption because you write 40% less code and it kind of is easier? Or is it something like React that's not as frustrating as Angular and has more widespread adoption currently? Anyway, the point is, this is happening in real time. The same thing Jaron Lanier wrote about is happening right now before our very eyes. And as you watch this happen, one of the things that's interesting is, again, what makes me kind of sort of awestruck about all of this is you look back in history and you say, how did they get people to essentially sacrifice their own lives and themselves to build things like the Great Wall of China? And it's happening right before our very eyes with the interwebs. So it's a fascinating thing. And, you know, wild horses couldn't drag us away from building the Great Wall of China, not realizing that's what we're doing in the process. Even if, you know, a few of our friends get dumped into the wall and poured into the mortar or whatever, oh well, it's all for the greater good, right, dear comrades? It's astonishing to watch, I think. So, I think Jaron Lanier is way too subtle for most of us. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. A couple of quick things before we go out. Headlines. Educational equity racist, mathematics lowest common denominator. Yikes, Frosty Wooldridge seems to be, observing Myron Fagan's mongrelized horde or something like that. That's an interesting article, controversial, incendiary even, I would say. some snippets of news. That's an interesting one. Lee Dugan from News with Views, Land of the Sheep, Home of the Defeated. You know, like Sun Tzu said, the first place to win the battle is in the mind. New York, gun control law unconstitutional. New York Supreme Court, but all that glitters is not gold, I would say. Vaccinated NFL player wanted unvaxxed, jailed, died unexpectedly at age 38. And then along with that, we have to include, where is it? Damar Hamlin, What You're Not Allowed to Say. There are a few others. Let me just say this before we head out. One other curious observation that I have seen, you know, speaking of kind of the Pied Pipers, the interwebs are notoriously filled with snake oil sales. Everything is a new silver bullet, except it never is. This is going to cure everything, and it never does. It's the same old kind of thing. Very few innovations have been made, actually, in the last 50 years. Very, very few. There's a lot of shininess, but very, very few innovations in that regard. Despite Moore's Law et al. But one of the things that I find most curious is, you know, we're told that we live in the age of big data, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, this data is portable and it's amazing and it's cool and we can do great things with it. But what you find is the big companies welcome your data and build things, silos for your data. And it's a one-way street, you know, data in, not so much data out. And, you know, it's not for lack of understanding the issue. I have mentioned Plaxo as a shining example of what I mean. Plaxo was an online address book that launched back in 2002. And by 2008, it was basically gone. What was amazing, and Sean Parker was one of the founders of Plaxo, and I think that Peter Thiel was even involved at one point. So it didn't suffer from lack of resources, either technical or financial. But what made it unique was we could get together, like all 1,000 of us, for example, or a million or whatever, share a collective address book to whatever extent we desired. And I only had to keep track of my contact record, you the same, everyone else the same. But because we pooled our address, you know, our contact records and shared only what we wanted with each other, they were always up to date real time. That is genius, but it's gone now and it's not that Sean Parker doesn't know. Anyway, just food for thought. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.